Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, and that is the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme there. We're at Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. You know, yesterday... We had some technical problems.
A little bit.
Yesterday after that, I went to the doctor, and there were no technical problems. Our son will be born very, very soon. So our son, it could have been born Monday, and it could have been born today. What is today?
Tuesday.
Tuesday! Oops. It's Monkey Tuesday! Yes, this is Penn Jillette with all the monkey news coming right at you on Free FM. Now, you know, Matt Drudge, news superstar, is over visiting. He's in the other room with his dad and listening with my family to the show. And, I was thinking, well, we have to, because he is so good at finding news. Whether it's inaccurate or accurate, he finds it. And he puts it up there, and it's always there. Matt Drudge is amazing at that, and he's kind of a hero of mine in terms of opening up a different kind of freedom of speech, not the same kind as Lenny Bruce or George Carlin, but a kind of information freedom of speech. So I was thinking, you know, what can we do to really impress Matt? Because, you know, we have scooped him on, what, three stories? There's three stories we had on here before Matt Drudge had anywhere. I was going to try to, you know, look through the people that write in stuff and say stuff. And then I just thought, you know, well, the best thing we can do to show Matt Drudge, who's the boss here, is to just show him how much news you can get on Monkey Tuesday. You know, we have a lot of stories. Now, I thought when we first did the Tuesday of Monkeys, when we first did that, I thought, well, we'll do this one day. It'll be really, really funny, and we'll have a good time with it, and there'll be a lot of fascinating monkey information. And then we did it like a couple times, and we found out Pops, they're so much like us, which is a whole new area. You know, the understanding that the primates share so much of our DNA and are so willing to share their DNA with us, as we heard from several of the stories, that I thought it would just kind of fizzle out. But it turns out that today is Monkey Tuesday, and we have more stories than we've ever had on a Tuesday of Monkeys. You just handed me, Michael Godot prints out a lot of stuff from the Gmail and from the web, and then he hands me, and the pile is, I'm exaggerating, at least a foot and a half high. I mean, I'm exaggerating, a full foot and a half high off the desk. It is.
There's a foot and a half or around that.
around there. And I guess we'll get right to it. This is the story that, we're not breaking any new news here. This is from CNN.com.
And we got 800 people sent us this.
Yeah, everybody sent us this. If you sent us this thing, what we should have done, see, to get the personal touch, we should have said our favorite person who writes email was the only one to send us this story. That's the way you do it. So you're not thinking like a magician. You're thinking like a juggler. Yeah. I could have made this into a real personal touch, you know.
You still could.
Drudge would have had a headline that said, Penn gives personal touch to Monkey Tuesday. And we'll be bringing it back in a couple weeks, I guess. Is that what you're talking about? Sure.
No, Drudge. We're going to bring Drudge back.
Yeah, Drudge will be back on. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Drudge.
We should have him on the show.
We'll do a whole show with Drudge.
That'd be great.
For right now, he's listening. He's in his proper position listening to us talk about monkeys. So this was really exciting because you would think that when CNN runs a story about bears eating a monkey, you would think that hundreds and hundreds of people would send in Gmails saying, hey, Penn and Michael, you really should see this. But the amazing thing is, I don't want to give names out in the air, but only one person was hip enough to notice that this was the right thing
for
the Tuesday of Monkeys. This is our favorite.
our favorite guest.
whose name I don't want to give. But this is our favorite listener. I mean, to give his or her name would be to say, I'm not even going to give that away with his or her.
Yeah.
Not even going to give it away
to
there.
Give their name.
Yeah, that's not correct. His or her name. We're not going to do it. But our favorite listener sent this in. Bear eats monkey, visitors shocked. This is in Amsterdam. You know, have you ever noticed that the really cool stuff happens in Amsterdam? Maybe there is something to legalize in dope.
We should work there. That's where we should do the show from.
We should do it.
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Red Light District in Amsterdam. It's Pendulette and Michael Gnu from the Red Light District in Amsterdam.
And they should have a little monkey district.
Monkey snacks.
Yeah, monkey snacks. Bears killed and devoured a monkey in front of horrified visitors at a Dutch zoo, officials and witnesses said. Now, what bothers me about this is the horrified.
Sure.
They're not horrified. That's just CNN putting their liberal editorial spin on it, like everything else.
The liberal
media. The truth
media.
Of the fact is, it should say, bears killed and devoured a monkey while Dutch people laughed their asses off. Just laughed their asses off. See, the great thing about monkeys is they're so close to us in terms of DNA that their misfortune is almost as good as another human being's misfortune. That's one of the reasons we love them. Visitors reported that the grisly scene began. I'm so glad that one person sent this to us because we love him or her so much. began as several bears. Oh, man. We need to have like a bear Thursday.
He or she is still sending in the same report over and over.
We just got this one in. We just got this in just moments ago, the bear and the monkey thing. Grizzly scene, although not a grizzly bear. See, that's bad writing right there, putting grizzly in there to confuse people.
It's just
people.
Confusing.
No, it's several bears chased a monkey, a macaw, into a
macaque.
Macaque. That's what I meant to say.
Not a macaw. That's a bird.
Bird. Macaque. Chased a monkey, a macaque, onto a wooden structure at Beeksbergen Safari Park. Is it Beekse? I don't know how to read Dutch words. B-E-E-K-S-E?
I don't know.
They said a bear tried unsuccessfully to shake a monkey loose, ignoring attempts by keepers to distract it. Woohoo! Bear! Hey, bear! I know what you're thinking, bear. Did I fire five shots or six? Okay, and they're screaming at the bear. This is the greatest scene that's ever happened.
No, it's a safari park. This is the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. The bear then climbed up and grabbed the monkey, mauling it to death and bringing it to its concrete den where three bears ate it. Now, the three bears were the mama bear, the papa bear, and the baby bear. And the baby bear said, "This monkey's too big for me."
You get that backwards.
Is it?
The papa bear.
The papa bear says,
"Yeah, this monkey's too soggy."
This monkey's too soggy.
Mama said, "This monkey's too dry."
So the three bears are eating a monkey. Oh, I can't wait to tell Moxie this story. Emily, my wife is listening to this. Make sure we record this and play this whole show back to Moxie,
bedtime
which is old
story.
Enough. It's a great story. But here's the part that I love. Man, this is one of the greatest paragraphs ever written. And by the way, just so you know, the monkey bear story was on Drudge. It was on Drudge. Matt Drudge got this. Matt Drudge considered this as important as immigration and the sex life of Paris Hilton. He put it right up there with the things he's most obsessed with. And also things that happen in schools. He cares a lot about things that happen in schools. You ever notice that with Drudge? School report! Okay. The park confirmed the killing. I wish they'd used the word murder. You know? I wish they'd gone like all the way with anthropomorphizing and called it murder. The park confirmed the kill. By the way, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this bear and monkey story. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. If you're going to call about monkeys, we don't want to hear about monkeys pleasuring themselves sexually. Pops, they're so much like us. We all think on our private time about monkeys pleasuring themselves. That's personal time. That's indoor voice. When you're alone, you think about the monkeys pleasuring themselves. When you're talking to us, you need a different story, like a bear killing a monkey. That is good, wholesome family entertainment, the kind that Free FM likes. We don't want monkeys having pleasure. We want monkeys having their bellies ripped out by wild bears, okay? Also, fecal matter. We all know that monkeys throw fecal matter because pops, they're so much like us.
Yes.
But this is Monkey Tuesday. So call in with your monkey stories, 866-313-FREE, but try to keep them appropriate. I'm going to finish this story, then we'll take some calls. If you're holding on the line, we're going to get to you. The park confirmed the killing. The habitats here in the safari. Oh, man. I am so excited about reading this sentence. I'm so excited about reading this sentence. I don't even want to read it because it's so good. The habitats, this is a quote from the park.
You're doing a good job of not reading the sentence. I want to point that out.
I know. I like to postpone joy. You know those bumpers that say don't postpone joy? I love to postpone joy. That's my hobby. I have 13 pounds of chocolate in the other room that I'm not eating yet today because I'm postponing joy. The habitats here in the safari park are arranged in such a way that one animal almost never kills another. But they are and remain wild animals, the park said in a statement. We arrange the habitats so that one animal almost never kills another. But those three bears sure killed that monkey's ass, huh?
Well, you know what's important that they don't mention in that story is that the monkey was chased by the bears into an electric fence. Stunned. And that's, I believe, when the bears actually grabbed a hold of the monkey.
So they chased the monkey into an electric fence.
Yes.
So the park doesn't want you to think about that, right?
Not that part, no.
They don't want you to think about the fact that it really was a conspiracy. If you were Jack McCoy, you know, on Law and Order, and you were prosecuting this, you would say, you make your face all like a turtle, like he always does a face like a turtle, and you get your neck all wobbly and stuff, and then you'd have your eyes pierce, and then you would go, we can go for conspiracy. It's conspiracy. That's my Jack McCoy impersonation. It's identical to my Sean Connery and my Clint Eastwood. All the impersonations. We're going to get him for conspiracy. So the conspiracy, he would say stuff like, we're going to go after the park owners for conspiring with the bears to set up the electric fence to bring down the monkey. The attack occurred in an area of the zoo that contains both monkeys and sloth bears. Sloth bears?
You think you could outrun a sloth bear?
You would think so, sure. Why wouldn't you? Of course, they had grizzly up at the top just to confuse us. The attack occurred in areas of the zoo containing both monkeys and sloth bears, a type of black bear found in the Asian subcontinent.
Maybe they only eat sloths.
The park said it plans now to move the macaques to another part of the park. Maybe without electrical fences. Let's take a phone call. Who wants to talk to us?
I think we should talk to Andrew on line 4. Are you there, Andrew?
What's up, Andrew?
I am here. How are you on Monkey Tuesday?
Hit it!
I just wanted to be able to set off the music.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
They don't run it for me.
It doesn't work for you. Try it. It doesn't work for Goodell.
It's Monkey Tuesday.
It doesn't work at all.
Nothing.
Goodell doesn't have the superpower.
Random callers have the power.
Not random callers. Certain callers have the power. You can tell. It's not Patrick. It's totally triggered by machine.
If they have the
right amount of monkey in their heart, they can say it and it plays a theme. But go ahead, Andrew. Let's talk monkeys. You're talking monkeys with Pendulette.
I have been entertaining drunk friends with this monkey story since I've been allowed to drink.
Well, why don't you consider the free FM audience as just your drunk friends?
Okay. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, my little brother, who was probably 5 or 6 at the time, woke up in the middle of the night and went down to my parents' room, cried, "There's a monkey outside my window throwing things at the window." My father, of course, said, "Go to sleep." Comes back half an hour later, crying, "Monkey outside my window, throwing things." My father would have none of this. My father wasn't getting out of bed for nothing. And it went on probably for about 2 hours, about every 15, 20 minutes. And my father never got up. There's no monkey outside the window. I'd go to sleep. So finally, night goes to morning. My brother and I are sitting there watching Saturday morning cartoons, my father and my mother in the kitchen. And my older sister walks in. She goes, "The police are outside. They said we have to stay inside, that two monkeys had gotten out of..." We've lived in Reston, Virginia. There's a research lab.
These are Reston monkeys? You're talking about Reston monkeys? This is my two obsessions brought together. You're talking about monkeys and Ebola research institute? You're talking about Reston? Oh, man, you're the greatest caller we've ever had. Oh, man, it's not just Monkey Tuesday. It's Monkey Death Tuesday. Oh, man. Should be different music. We got to get Jonesy to do a Reston monkeys. You know, did you read The Hot Zone?
No.
Oh, man. You want to talk about one-handed reading? I'll tell you, the Hot Zone has Reston monkeys that have Ebola getting out of their cages. You've made my day. Oh, but I've interrupted your story just because I'm so filled with joy at your story. Go on.
Well, so she goes,
"Oh, Reston monkeys."
My little brother, without catching, without missing a beat, looks over at my father and goes, "You never believe me about anything." And my mother's just looking at my father with, like, daggers in his eyes. My father's like, "What?" "Didn't I tell you to get up and look?" He's just sitting there with a toast in one hand, coffee in the other. And with the look on his face, like, "I can't get a break."
Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you.
You know, if his dad had opened the window, they might have died of Ebola.
Exactly. Exactly. His dad did protect the entire family. For those of you who don't know, Reston, Virginia has a research lab where they had monkeys that caught that had Ebola, and they were testing them, and they got out, and that was part of that Hot Zone book, which ends up really hippie in like the last two chapters. It gets really hippie, but before it gets hippie, when it stays like really cool, it is an amazing story. There's a scene in the Hot Zone that blows my mind, where there's this kid, he's like a 17-year-old kid or something, who is cleaning monkey cages, and he is there cleaning the cages in like shorts, a t-shirt, and sneakers, and he's cleaning monkey cages, and he hears someone come in, and he turns around, and it is people in full bunny suits. Now, by bunny suits, I mean perfectly hazmat suits. So they have their own breathing apparatus. They have everything all tied together. They are not breathing. They're completely self-contained in these full hazmat suits, walking into this, and there's a kid in shorts, and he looks at them, and at that second, he realizes perhaps he's dressed inappropriately. And to convince a 17-year-old that he's dressed inappropriately, it really does take Ebola and hazmat suits. And it's just the greatest scene in there. And there is a strain of Ebola called Ebola Reston. You know, it's usually like Ebola Zaire. Yes. It's like in Africa. But we have right here in the United States of America, there is a strain of Ebola named after an American city, Ebola Reston. I'm very excited. I'll tell you, I'm going to take another call. But you haven't got a chance, because that was the greatest monkey story ever. He had this hidden punchline of where he was from. Let's take a call. What do you want, Goodell?
Let's talk to line five. This is Albert.
Hey, Albert. There, Albert.
How you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad. My monkey story, I don't think I can top that story, but I thought it was pretty
That's okay. Don't feel the pressure. Just kind of let it flow. It's okay. I don't want to put too much pressure on you. Whatever your monkey story you have is fine with us.
Well, I was at a kennel in Mexico visiting family friends, and they had this spider monkey that I guess, you know, in the jungles down there they have spider monkeys, so it's a fairly common pet. But it had monkeys tend to be pretty impish. So I got too close to the cage, and sure enough, it snatched my glasses right off my face, and you know, it would do that. Anybody who came too close had anything that he could grab. I mean, they have an a tail that's pretty handy too, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
So basically, they had to get the suit on to go get it because he bites too. So.
The suit? What do you mean the suit?
Well, like, they have a like someone who handles hawks. You know, they need.
Oh, yeah, the gloves.
Leather gloves.
Yeah, they had to get the gloves to salvage my glasses.
And were your glasses okay?
Yeah, they were okay. He just, you know, he likes to mess with people. You know, he likes to show people who's boss. So
let me just tell you one thing. Next time you tell the story, make sure you put in the part where the monkey puts on your glasses and does a little impersonation of you going. If you put that in, you got a better story.
Well, he was certainly getting a kick out of making a monkey.
I'm sure he was. But add the part about him putting the glasses on. This is Penn Jillette, 866-313-FREE. We have got a foot and a half, I'm exaggerating, a foot and a half pile of stories for Monkey Tuesday. We'll be back after this, 866-313-FREE. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. This is News Drudge. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM 866-313. Free speech all the time. Talk about the topics that matter. 866-313 free 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Attacking all the serious issues. What do you think? What is your opinion? You're on Free FM talking about monkeys. Let's take a call.
Okay, let's talk to Matt on line one. Are you there, Matt?
Matt, line one. What are you going to say about monkeys?
Hello?
Yes, Matt. What do you have to say about monkeys?
Oh, well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a big fan of the show, Penn, and
Thanks.
Love the idea of Monkey Tuesday because it actually gives me the opportunity.
Wow. Thanks.
You did it.
Yeah. So, during this one trip, I was down in Ecuador with my girlfriend's family, and we actually had this driver take us to this part of the Amazon River that we could go into. And as we're going into this hostel, this woman speaking in Spanish, I don't speak Spanish fluently, but she explains that there's a thief in the village and you have to beware of him. And they explain that it's actually a family of monkeys. So the next morning I wake up and we go out and start preparing to go on this canoe into the Amazon River. And this monkey that's in the square actually climbs up my leg and actually starts taking a banana that I had in my hand. Takes a whole banana.
You're walking through a square with a thieving monkey holding a banana?
Well, I was holding a banana.
You know, that's like walking through Times Square at 2 a.m. with a $100 bill on your ass. You know that, don't you?
You can't blame the victim.
What happened was, we went to go feed it at first, not thinking that it was really going to rob us.
Uh-huh.
So we started feeding it, but it got really aggressive and climbed to my leg, and not only... It started fishing in my pockets, looking around for like paper bills. I got it, and I kind of chokehold and held my pocket and the monkey's hand so that it wouldn't be able to get out as I'm trying to shoot the monkey off.
Uh-huh. So you were wrestling a monkey?
Well, I know it's like a small spider monkey kind of.
Sure.
And all these and all the people that are in the village, I guess, that are looking around are just laughing at me as I'm trying to shake this monkey off of my leg.
Yeah. And did he get the money?
He did not get the money. And it's a good thing because that was the money that I paid the driver to get us back into civilization.
So you fought the monkey and you won. Is that right?
You could say that, but I'll tell you, that's a very small monkey. But
it's good that you're giving proper respect to our simian brothers and sisters. Do you believe that the monkeys were stealing on their own, or do you think that the people were having them steal from tourists?
I had the same thing, and it seems pretty obvious that that the people would train these monkeys to do that. But I've heard of monkeys being trained to do that in certain Middle Eastern countries too, but I don't know how much credit can be given to that or what specific species a monkey does it.
So you mean what they would do is just when the monkey got money, they would just reward the monkey with something that the monkey wanted more than the money, which is precisely the way money works. That is really monkeys using money, isn't it? A full medium of exchange for the monkey. That's the Milton Friedman of monkeys, is just going in there and stealing from tourist pockets and going and buying whatever a monkey wants, which I think is a cell phone or a way to ground out the electrical fence so they can get away from the bears. Oh, thanks a lot for calling there, Matt. Thanks. You know, it would be great if the monkey stole the money and then went and bought cigarettes. if a resting monkey ran out and then stole the money, came back, and a resting money monkey bought cigarettes and was smoking them, you would have the happiest day of Penn's life. If anybody wants to make me happy, a resting Maryland monkey smoking after stealing money from a tourist, nothing could make me happy. Nothing can make me happier than that. We have. Do you want to take it? Is there another call?
There are plenty of calls.
Okay,
you can read the story.
I want to read this one first. This is from Jerry, who wrote in from Illinois. Happy Monkey Tuesday! My father was in the Army during the Korean War. This says Korean War, and was stationed in northern Japan. They were allowed near beer. I guess that's the beer that has a little bit of alcohol content on the base. And since it was freezing outside, they kept it in a duffel bag hanging outside the barracks window. The sergeant in my dad's barracks had a monkey named Monkey. Monkey had been trained to do several tricks, like salute and fetch beer. All they had to do was say, "Monkey, beer." He would run, to the window and get a beer from the duffel bag. One day, while they were playing cards, this really sounds like the Army's a blast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You play cards.
It's like
you
Bilko. I'd love to be in the Army.
One day, while they were playing cards, someone said, "Monkey, beer." After a while, they realized that Monkey had been gone for a long time. When one of the guys checked the duffel bag, he found it was empty. However, a short time later, Monkey returned with a beer. It turned out that when Monkey found the bag was empty, he went to another barracks and got a beer from their bag. Needless to say, the guys in my dad's barracks never bought beer again. After all, the Uniform Code of the Military Justice doesn't cover theft by a monkey. So I think there we have a case of them training. I'll tell you, though, there's a phrase that, you know, Todd Robbins, who's been on the show, good friend of ours, mm-hmm. who studies a lot of your odd acts and vaudeville acts and freak acts and so on, always mentions that certain acts cannot be taught with kindness. You know, anybody who makes cowboy movies always feels sad about the loss of the tripwire. They used to be able to make four horses fall really easily. And then because of animal rights group, they can't do that. And certain acts cannot be taught with kindness. They just can't. I got to think that when the monkey came back without beer, they must have beat that monkey senseless. Or maybe they had another bear, like a sloth bear, in the other barracks and electric fence and just said, "You don't come back with beer, monkey." I also love the monkey was named Monkey, because you're not going to get – people get a monkey and they think, "Oh, I'll come up with a funny, cute little name." Like what is Michael Jackson's monkey named? What's his name? Bubbles, right?
Bubbles, yes.
Bubbles, yeah. I know the name. What was Elvis's monkey's name? So you should have this.
I should have that all
tips.
Down. I know.
You should know.
We have discussed the monkey.
It's Elvis's. Monkey Tuesday. And on Monkey Tuesday, Godot, you should have up on your computer.
Flapjack.
A list of all
Jumpy.
Famous monkeys' names.
Smelly.
So I'm just going to tell you, if you're buying a monkey, for those of you, you can just keep thinking of funny monkey names. See if you can find one funnier than Monkey. I don't think you can.
I don't think so. Sir.
So,
close.
Zeno would be a good name for Monkey. But I think that this act could not be taught with kindness. I think that Monkey would come back, and if they didn't have a beer, they must beat Monkey senseless. They must be.
Maybe they just gave him a cigarette when he brought back a beer. Oh, it could be a positive thing.
Oh, that'd be a great
positive
thing.
Positive reinforcement
that'd be
for
a
the
great
monkey.
Thing. Don't forget, they have guns. They have guns when they're in the Army. So I think when you have a gun, you can get a monkey to do anything. But Monkey is the best name, I think, for a monkey. If you're going to have a monkey and you're going to have name them, Monkey's a really good name. Funny word for a funny thing. Let's take another phone call, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. How about line 9? Let's talk to Jeff. Are you there, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff. You okay there, Jeff?
You're too close to the electric fence, Jeff. Watch
out
for the bear.
The bear's going to get you, Jeff. We have to hang up on Jeff.
I think we should hang up on Jeff.
That's too
sorry,
bad.
Jeff.
I mean, I'm sure Jeff had the greatest monkey story ever. Have you noticed something about Monkey Tuesday? Seems that women don't call on Monkey Tuesday.
Well, I've got you here.
Okay.
Line 7. Andrea.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, see you.
She has the power.
How are you doing, Andrea?
I'm great. It's amazing to talk to you. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you so much. Do you have a monkey story for us, Andrea?
Yes, I do. Well, this is just something I heard on the National Public Radio.
McDonald's Radio.
They did a study on the effects of alcohol abuse on monkeys.
You know something? I happen to have this study right here in front of me. But I'll pull it up while you're talking about it.
Pardon?
Go ahead. I have the study right in front of me, so go ahead and I'll check your work.
Okay, well, I heard it once, so forgive me, okay.
That's why I got your back.
Okay, thank you. They gave the monkeys alcoholic beverages, and they found that the monkeys that liked the alcohol the most, their behavior changed the most. Rather than the monkeys that didn't like the alcohol as much. Is that is that right?
Yeah, well, that was part of it. Also, the amazing thing is, and forgive me for calling you Pops, but I need to. Pops, they're so much like us. Monkeys that drank alone drank a lot more than monkeys that drank socially.
Yes.
And what else do you remember from the study? I'm going to check you here.
I don't really remember much that their behavior was more offensive than the regular monkeys.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. And that's saying something, because monkeys on offensive behavior are right up there with Tom Arnold. I mean, they're really good at it.
I just had this image of, they taught the monkeys how to have tea, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
But I just had an image of monkeys with, like, martini glasses and, of course, a cigarette.
Of course, yes. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, our board op is very similar. Patrick, very similar to monkeys. Martini glass, cigarette, he's ready to go. We'll be back right after this, 866-313-FREE-3733, with more Monkey Tuesday.
Scatter. The monkey's name was Scatter.
Scatter, that's Elvis's monkey's name. Monkey Tuesday here with Ben Gillette. 866-313-FREE. I'll say that even slower. 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. If you like the monkey music from the Tuesday of Monkeys, if you really enjoy that and you just can't get from one week to another without hearing it, if you go to the website, PennRadio, PennRadio.com, we have the monkey music there for the taking. We don't ask anything for it. Take the monkey movie. I mean, I can't imagine better music for the startup or an error message on your computer. Oh, load it, use it. You're welcome to it in any way. Just move it around like a virus through the web. Send it to your friends. And if you want more music of that type, well, you know, after you play, maybe you give Jonesy a dollar or something. Actually, don't even give Jonesy any money. Just go to jonesjazz.com after you get the monkey music and just buy one of his CDs. It'll blow your mind. It's
maybe
great.
Someone will juggle to it. That's what we need. Someone syncing up juggling to the monkey
music. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Golden slumbers feel. Yeah, it would look exactly like Chris Bliss was hitting every beat right on it. Exactly. That's just fabulous. Our friend Quinn in New York has written in, I love how almost every call starts with some variation of my wife, parents, grandma, thought it would be a fun idea to go to. And then anything. It's like what I always thought was when you knew you were going to be hearing a great story, like a great story, was when somebody in the middle of the story said, I don't know what got into my head, but then one of my favorite stories started that way with somebody betting Captain Lou Albano $500 he couldn't throw the Thanksgiving turkey out the window. So there are a bunch of wrestlers over at Captain Lou Albano's house. This guy's telling me the story about all these wrestlers and goes, I don't know what got into my head, but I bet $500 that Lou couldn't throw the turkey out the window. And it ends up with a game of rough football with all professional wrestlers with a burning turkey. Well, Captain Lou tries to get out the window, and they block and tackle him to stop him from doing that. And it all started with, I don't know what got into my head. I mean, what does get into your head to say to Captain Lou Albano, $500 says you can't throw that burning turkey from the oven out the window? We have other calls, Michael Gooden?
Of course we have other calls.
Let's take them.
But I've been offered a bribe. I've been offered donuts if I stuff one into your mouth next time you try to make monkey noises.
They don't like the monkey noises?
Somebody has been scarred for life by your monkey noises.
They don't like my monkey noises?
That's just what Rachel says.
Is it a phone call?
It's not a phone call.
I'm so, Rachel?
Well, she also wrote Mr. Grudeau, so we don't have to listen to her.
Actually, did you know that Rachel is one of the bosses at CBS?
Yeah, I knew that, yeah.
She's one of the big cheeses, and actually that's his drag name. It's actually a man who's our boss, and his drag name is Rachel. Uh-huh. And it's wonderful how I throw out the term drag name like it's a comfortable thing. So you should call up. Matt, when you're screening the calls, put down both the person's name and their drag name, would you? So you can tell them by either. I'm bothered that Rachel doesn't like my monkey noises. I thought the monkey noises were pretty good.
I'll forward the email on to you. You answer it however you feel appropriate.
Okay, I don't feel – Rachel, I'm very sorry. I mean, I kind of felt like I discovered something. I felt like, you know, I'm like Salk or Saban or something. I thought, oh, these monkey noises are kind of nice.
You had released your inner monkey.
I thought I was kind of feeling good. Thought it was adding something, but maybe. Monkey Tuesday. And maybe me putting monkey noises over that is like putting legs on a snake and painting it. Do you know that that's the Chinese term? Like we say gilding the lily.
Right.
Gilding the lily, the literal translation of that cliche in China is putting legs on a snake and painting it. Let's just hear an A-B. Monkey Tuesday. Monkey Tuesday. I don't know which is better. I can't tell. I can't really hear it. Do you have an opinion?
People should vote.
People should vote, which they like. Whether I should sing like a monkey over the music or not is something that's left open. Let's take another phone call.
Let's talk to line 7. This
Rachel
is Mara.
Rachel feelings. Who?
Mara.
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 Yes. Hi. I actually have a monkey.
You have a monkey? What kind of monkey?
You're our fifth caller. You win.
I used to be an animal trainer. I have a 35-year-old capuchin monkey that's lived with me for 26 years.
Wow.
And I have lots of stories, but one of the things is her whole social system is based on a series of hierarchies where she wants to be number one.
Uh-huh.
And unlike a dog, which accepts it was the alpha, the whole life, you constantly have to prove yourself.
This can't be happening. We're you're breaking up. Is that on your end or our end? Start again, unlike a dog.
Nah, she's going to have to hang up and cry again.
Yeah, hang up and try again. Oh. Oh, that's horrible. That's just a horrible, horrible moment. That shows you.
It was so positive. It seemed like it was going to be so good.
It's that goddamn NSA.
You think it's the NSA?
Goddamn NSA. They want to stop us from talking to terrorists. They want to stop us from telling monkey stories. You know, Bush says on the speech that, you know, that he's not using the NSA information. We're just gathering the USA, the NSA information. And all they're doing is trying to do these network things, see who's talking with whom. So it's just a game like, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's all it is. We're trying to find, the NSA is trying to figure out who's talking to Kevin Bacon.
Well,
how
you
many
know,
steps
I, is. I think the problem is just that we're on such a cutting edge. I mean, no one else has ever taken phone calls on the radio, and it's a difficult technology.
Exactly. It's a brand new thing. You know, this is a brand new idea.
It's what
and
we
especially,
pay for taking those
especially
risks.
In New York City. In New York City, this isn't like an advanced town,
like
you know,
Kansas
Greenfield,
City.
Massachusetts, or Kansas City.
Yeah, because everything's up to date in Kansas City.
This is New York City, where they're not good at this. You want to try another call?
Let's try line 4. This is Brian. Are you
hey,
there, Brian?
Gentlemen, how are you?
There he is.
Never better. How are you, boss?
Very fine, thanks. I got a million monkey stories. I used to own one, but I got two real classics I want to share with you that did not involve my monkey. I used to spend my summers down in Florida, and as you might be aware, there's a million, like, really low-budget alligator farms and monkey farms.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah,
Gator
great.
World, yeah.
Exactly.
But and there was a monkey jungle. Monkey Jungle had this sign that said, "Caution, all monkeys bite." My favorite signs ever. But go on.
Funny you should mention that. One year, two monkeys got loose, and they got up in this tree, and they wouldn't come down, and there were a bunch of reporters at the bottom of the tree. Well, one of those monkeys got so angry, ran down the tree and ripped off the reporter's arm.
Ripped off the reporter's arm?
Ouch. Yes.
You know, Karl Rove just has to do that once, and a lot of people shut up in a big hurry. Rip off one reporter's arm. I bet a lot of those reporters are much more careful about what they wrote about monkeys after that. Okay, so you've got ripping off an arm is one of the funny monkey stories. What's the other one?
My brother used to work at those laboratories in Reston, and he was a young teenager, probably 17 or 18, and all the monkeys had names. He'd get close to them. There's General, there's Grandpa, and after a summer of performing all types of horrific experiments and things on him, he had enough, and one night he and two buddies filled up the Jeep full of beers and other party favors and headed over to the labs. And they were found about 5:30 in the morning in a cage full of drunken monkeys.
They were in the cage with the monkeys?
Yeah. They were with the Ebola, but they were doing some pretty horrific stuff to him. My brother just like, I can't do this anymore. And they were
so
all
got
laid
drunk
out
with
there.
The monkeys.
Yeah. So let's share those two gems with you.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. You know, I think they do a lot of, you know, focus groups, you know, and mm-hmm. demographics, who's listening to Penn Jillette on Free FM. And, you know, the fact that you have listeners that call up and just say, I have a funny monkey story for you. He ripped off a reporter's arm. It's just... And, you know, I'm not blaming the listeners, because the first thing I think about doing when they say that is laughing my ass off. There's just nothing funnier. Someone wrote in, I want to say this very briefly, and told us that the Reston lab, where Ebola Reston started, and the monkeys... is now a shopping mall. They've torn it down, and right on that Ebola site, they've built a shopping mall, which they probably do not call, like, Ebola West or something. They probably call it something different. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Tomorrow will not be Monkey Tuesday. I'm an ape man. I'm trying to decide whether I should sing or not. I don't know.
We have one saying you should. Thanks, Julio.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.